Hi, Nielsen.
Hi.
Hi,
Is this Kevin?
it is. Yes. Glad we could connect tonight.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so if you're ready, let's get right into things.
Cool, I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. So, let's start with your year of graduation, including if this was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Yeah, I graduated from Berklee College of Music in 2018 in the spring, and I was a music business student, and I focused in marketing and in the entrepreneurial track.
Got it. And what was your principal instrument?
I played trumpet.
Very cool. All right. We will get to your history later. But for now, please tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Yeah, my current job, I work for a company called Los Angeles Comic Con, who's had a couple different names over the years. Kamikaze Expo, Stan Lee's Kamikaze Expo, Stan Lee's LA Comic Con, and now we're just LA Comic Con. I'm currently the marketing manager, promoted from marketing coordinator. During the pandemic, I started on day one of the shutdown and managed to keep my event job up until now. But I basically handle every visual asset, every ad push, strategy, website, merchandise. I wear many hats on the team. We're a small team of eight, so I
Are
can
you the
get more
one,
into. Go ahead.
by small team of eight, I just want to make sure we're on the right same page when you say we. Does we mean all the full-time employees of Comic-Con, or does we mean like the marketing team in Comic-Con?
No, all the full-time employees. It's only
All
run by
full.
eight people. Yep.
And you're one of how many marketing people?
I am one of two.
Gotcha. The fact that your manager suggests that the other person reports to you.
I report to the head of marketing. I used to have
Ah,
someone
okay.
on. I used to have someone under me. But you know, times were tough in LA, and we decided
Sure.
to just.
I understand how it is. No problem. And let's see. I'm familiar with Comic Cons. I don't think I've ever been to a Comic Con officially, but I went to PAX East, which is like a video game related one. And I used to go to Star Trek conventions back in the day.
Oh,
So,
cool.
can I ask, is this one annual event or are there multiple events that you all run?
Yeah, we for right now, we only have one annual event. We scaled down right before COVID started. We used to run a show called RuPaul's Drag Con, which was a convention dedicated to all things RuPaul's drag race. But right now we're just on that one annual big event. We put it on for 130,000 people every year.
That's very, very big.
Yeah. It's a little overwhelming for a team of eight, but somehow we make it work.
Yeah, just thinking that's about 20% the population of the city of Boston.
Yeah,
I
all in
know
one
LA
building
is a
too.
bigger city, but still, so very, very impressive. So, as you say, eight people year round. I imagine there's lots and lots and lots of temporary staff during the actual event, which is,
Yeah,
was it
we
like three or,
hire.
yep, go on.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, is it what, a 3 or 4 day event?
It's a 3 day event.
Okay, yep.
Right now, so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we do, I think, hire about 100 to 200 people, to do like on-site operations. We have meet and greets with celebrities, so there's a whole talent team, that's just taking people from the green room. We've got golf cart drivers, st other staff, and then we have about 800 exhibitors and artists. So they're not directly our staff, but they're vendors that work within the building, helping improve the experience of the show.
Sure, and I'm seeing why you want year-round staff because it takes quite a while to coordinate with vendors. see who's going up,
Yeah.
make sure all the places in the exhibition all are filled. And so,
Yeah, we activate over 1 million square feet in one building. Whether that's panel rooms, big brand activations, cosplay meetups where people dress up and, all group as the same character or different characters. There's a lot going on.
I was gonna say 1 million square feet sounds like a lot, but when you said it was over 100,000 people, that doesn't sound like all that much, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a packed experience. It's a giant market that comes, only 3 days a year. And a lot of the attendees get the opportunity to shop these brands only once a year when they come around, roll through town. They're kind of like traveling brands or exhibitors. They do something cool, they do something exclusive at our show, or they're an online business that only activates at three or four of these during the year.
I understand. And great. So, by the way, when is the con, roughly?
It was sorry, you have cats. I just had a cat knock down everything on my desk.
Oh, no.
The con was the September 26th to the 28th. So we just finished.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. So, let's see. By the way, is your work mostly like in the office, at home, hybrid?
COVID kind of changed everything. So we used to be pretty strict in the office. Now we come in 2 days a week, which is
Okay.
really nice. I do most of my work from home. I'm pretty much just buried in, as long as I have a screen, I'm buried, wherever I am.
Gotcha. And be honest here, I'm sure it's like the week right before and after the con, things are crazy. But when you're not in those crazy moments, about how many hours a week do you work?
Pretty typical, 40.
Okay.
Planning starts. I mean, I'm already starting to prep materials for next year. And already starting to reach out to partners. We get about a week off that we can kind of just chill, and then we kind of warm up the last few weeks of the year, and then right after everyone gets back from holiday break, we kind of hit the ground running.
Okay, gotcha. Very nice. Could you take us through like a typical work day? Again, not like the three crazy bit days, but like a normal, like what's your, Wednesday look like this week? Or if that's not a good,
Yeah.
if that's a weird day this week because you had a doctor's appointment, what's Thursday,
Yeah, so for me, I handle most of the fan communication. So on a given day, I'm prepping an email, an entire marketing strategy, for the future. So right now I'm in about February in planning mode. And as long as I get those timelines good, as long as I have things locked, I can free myself up for auxiliary tasks. So I do things like design merch on the side. I design the branding. We do partner deals with exhibitors. Sometimes I go to the Funko store in Hollywood, and take a video. I'm kind of just always in this kind of content planning mode. Or I do something called the Things to Do blog, which is kind of like a local guide. You might have like I can't remember what the Do Network calls themselves out there. Is it Do 617?
I'm not sure, but
Do Boston? Yeah,
okay.
they basically just kind of a local guide. So I do a whole bunch of different things during the day, but it's usually prepping fan communications, designing social graphics, or future prepping.
Gotcha. Okay. That's cool. So I never ask people how much money they're paid. I mean, there's that cutoff to qualify for these interviews. But I'm curious about the structure of your pay. Like, is it a standard salaried position? Is it, hourly? Do you get a bonus, or is there some sort of commission based on, how much merch sells?
Yeah, for me, I don't really get a bonus other than the 3 days that I work extended on the show, that I just get like a nice little extra check for hard work. But I am salaried, and very thankful to my team that's kept me around so long, and let me grow within the role. But for an event job, it's a nice job that you have a lot of creativity and flexibility with.
That is nice. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being salaried. I'm salaried.
Yeah.
It's a lot, lots of great
I
jobs.
don't have to worry about taxes. The government, just sending me a bill. So it's nice.
Yeah, and I actually interviewed last night somebody where he was in sales, and 100% of his pay was commissions. Can you even guarantee you make a single dollar this month? You can't. So,
Right.
salary
No,
has a
that's, I like the structure personally.
Yeah, very fair. So speak of stuff you like. To qualify for these interviews, one criteria you had to hit was that you enjoy what you do. So what is it about, we could say doing marketing or doing marketing for Comic-Con that you enjoy?
So, the marketing work itself is not the thing that I enjoy the most. I think, all this prep goes into 362 days of the year, we're prepping for a show that happens over three days. The smile on people's faces when they're walking through the door on that first day or on the second day is probably my favorite part of the job. It's just all of the hard work that you've put in for the entire year pays off, like in that 1 minute when people are entering. That's my favorite part of the job. I do like being on site. I like problem solving. It takes a specific type of person to work in events. It's very high stress. You get yelled at a lot. But I love it.
Well, wait, even you, who's just doing all this relationship stuff and communication?
Yeah, no, so I mean there's only eight people, that people can point fingers at on the show floor. I happen to be one of them. And I usually do all of our sponsor coordination, especially on site. So when something
Gotcha.
doesn't go right, or doesn't happen as expected, there can be some pretty tense exchanges. And it happens, a video doesn't get played. Or can't be played on one of the main stages. I have to figure out a solution. But I don't know. It's exciting. It's never the same. There's always new problems, and I don't get bored.
Well, that's terrific. That's great. All right. Let's take it back now to 2018. I mean, and by the way, if you feel this story has a logical earlier starting point, we can go back before 2018. But
Cool.
otherwise, put us in your headspace as Berkeley was wrapping up. I'm guessing you're not, you may have been thinking marketing, you probably weren't thinking Comic-Con. Let's go one step at a time. From Berkeley to what you're doing now, both in terms of what you were doing for work, but also in terms of where you were at mentally as far as what direction you want your career to go in.
Yeah. So when I first got out in 2018, a whole bunch of people started to move to California. I'm California born and raised, but quite a competitive job market in LA. So to save money, I moved back home with my parents for a year.
And where's home, by the way?
Home is San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah. Moved back home, and I worked at Trader Joe's and the Apple Store. I worked two jobs, just trying to get a little nest egg saved up for when I would move down.
By two jobs, like how many hours a week total?
I was probably doing, well, I worked two full-time positions. So
So
I
close, so
did,
80 or close to 80.
yeah, close to 80 a week.
Wow.
Not fun, not something that I want to do again. But you know, it helped me get down to LA sooner. Also meeting my now wife. She we moved in together straight away, and that kind of sped up my process to get to LA. I transferred
Sorry,
go ahead.
you can I just ask Dr. Tudor knows you was she in LA already then?
Yeah, my weird story. My wife and I were best friends in kindergarten.
Oh.
So we reconnected at Coachella, and hit it off. I lived in San Francisco and she lived in LA. So on my 2 days off, I would take the Greyhound down to see her, and then we decided it would just be easier to move in together, and I moved down to LA.
That's so sweet, man.
Yeah.
I love that. So, all right. So, okay, I understand. You save some money is a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
You're it's definitely a lot better to show up someplace with a good cash cushion than show up someplace broke and desperate. So, great.
Yeah.
So now you're now did you have a job lined up when you went moved to LA, or were you just like, I got some cash, I'm here, I got a place to live, now let's find something?
No, so I'm not a person that likes to go, you know, without a job. So I transferred with the Apple Store, and I worked for the Apple Store for the first 6 months I lived in LA. Which, you know, it's a great high-paying retail job. You meet a lot of people that I still, you know, talk to and interact with. But as soon as I got down here, I started applying to every single entertainment company possible. So if it had entertainment or music or productions in the name, I applied there.
Got it. So you figure you went to Berkeley, but you're willing to go, can I call it one step outside music?
Yeah, to be honest, I was looking for every music job. In my current job, I thought was some production company that had music connections. I didn't even know that I was applying for Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
So
thought my pre interview questions were all Marvel and Stan Lee themed, which I thought was fun, you know, like what's your favorite flavor ice cream? But I never made the connection.
that's right. By the way, can I just circle back? I'm just pure curious. You said
Yeah.
you bumped maybe right for Coachella. Is this a random encounter or will you do like social media connectors with the hey, let's meet up while we're there? So
Well, we had reconnected on social media, and then turns out both of us are kind of concert junkies. So
gotcha.
we planned to meet there.
That
She had a
makes
crush on me and I had
sense.
no idea.
Oh, that's wonderful, man.
Yeah.
That's great. So, okay, so that's really funny what you said that you didn't realize. It probably just had some generic sounding name.
Yeah, it was Kamikaze Entertainment Inc. And if I would have Googled it, I would have, you know, had my answer pretty quickly. But,
Okay.
you know, rapid applying to places, you know, you don't have as much opportunity to research everyone in depth.
Sure, and you're like, okay, yeah, entertainment, I'm sure it's music. Okay, marketing, yeah, I qualify for that. As you said, you were casting a wide net to get in,
Yeah.
and you got hired. And it
Yeah,
sounds
and
like
I
you got hired to like a lower level position than where you're at now.
yes. So I got hired as a marketing coordinator, and that's just kind of you're just pumping out content. And I still do part of my old job, but I get to do more. You know,
Gotcha.
that's how it is with small teams.
You said marketing manager. Oh, can I ask how long until you got the new title?
Yeah, it was kind of hard to get promoted in COVID when nothing was going on. We tried to do a like modified COVID show that I think would have worked, I just don't think California had any options for large scale events. That was just the
Gotcha.
one thing that they wouldn't look at or consider, and I totally understand that.
For what it's
But
worth, 2020 was an ugly year to be in just lots of businesses, including Berkeley. It was I knew a bit about the financials for Berkeley. It was a scary year.
oh, I'm sure I was thinking about that. Yeah, in an event job, every we had gotten the PPP loan or the PPE loan, I can't remember what it was
Sure.
called. And the one qualification to get that loan is you can't, I think you couldn't hire or fire any staff until January 1st. So I knew I was secured for a little while, but once January 1st came around, I was a little scared. I do. All right, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
You're a little scared. I was initially asking how long till you got promoted, because you start there in like what, the fall of 2019, is that right?
No, I started on day one of the shutdown in California.
All right, so
So,
March of 2020. Yikes. So
yeah,
that you
my
start,
first day I had COVID.
got it, and then I understand that. So then, and as you say, the convention is a relative bust compared to the normal years. And you're like, am I still going to have this job? You're only 9 months in. Totally got it. So then what happens when we roll into 2021?
2021, we started prepping a show that we believed could happen. We originally had to push back dates because we really needed a show to happen. For anyone that doesn't understand like budgets of events, you're basically your event is your only opportunity to take care of like operating expenses, salary expenses, and the budget that you have for next year. And
Right.
until you can put,
It's
go
all
ahead.
your revenue. It's both what people pay to go, and you're getting a lot of revenue from vendors, I'm pretty sure. So then, yeah, if there's no show, there's nothing.
Yeah. So thankfully, they still needed someone. And I did an okay job my first year. So I started prepping for the show and I made a great impression that first year. Being able to solve, any issue on site is a skill that not everyone has. And I think my team really admired one of the problems I solved on site. And I got a promotion a couple months
Nice.
after we closed the show.
Nice. That's like 2021, and so now just you're 4 years later, still doing that thing.
Yep, still doing it. I love it. It makes people happy. I get to bring out my inner nerd, and I actually get to work with some music people. So I got to meet a clown from Slipknot. We had Logic, the rapper, a couple of years ago. We had a whole bunch of guys from Coheed and Cambria. Yeah,
Right.
really like interesting connections, and it's a fun world. Everyone has some part of them that's a nerd and can have fun at the show.
Yeah,
So.
and I forget, had you kind of been interested in comics or that sort of culture before you got the job? And by the way, I speak as someone who did not have a music background before when I was hired at Berkeley, but I then learned to appreciate a lot more once I started.
I don't know if I was explicitly into comic books. I used to read manga.
Gotcha.
So I think that was my connection to that world. And I grew up, playing Pokemon and being in band, in jazz band. So I had a lot of things that kind of aligned with the job. But like I said, I didn't even know until I got there. That I was interviewing for Comic Con.
On the same time, when you found out, you didn't say no.
Yeah, no, and it's my When I showed up for my interview, the entire cast of Jimmy Neutron exited the room I was going into. So I got a pretty quick clue. Yeah, but
Excellent. All right. And here you are. Let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. And I'll preface the next bit with there is no right or wrong answer.
okay.
These days, let's define these days as like late spring, summer into the fall of 2025. What, if anything, has been your relationship with music?
Oh, that's a good question. I still play occasionally. I don't as much when I don't have like hard deadlines or auditions or performance classes. I still enjoy it. We go to almost every show in LA. I have fun times at concerts. I still have a whole bunch of friends that are in the community, but I wouldn't say that I'm not connected to music.
Sure.
I'm definitely music adjacent in my current job. But my love or my passion for music hasn't gone away. I would love for my next role to be in music.
Gotcha. I'm going to ask one more question, sort of related to that. It's a little crass, but I'm trying to figure out which category to put you into. For people who, quote, still play a bit, unquote, so my sort of three categories I have are personal, casual, and side job. And I define them personal as like you're playing in your room, you're playing to your wife, right? But you're not playing to people you don't know. Casual's like you're, performing at open mics or with jamming with a friend or whatever, but you're not making much money. Side job is you're still doing make a bit of money from it. I put that cut off at like $750 in the last 6 months.
Okay. So
Which,
I would say that's probably personal.
okay.
But I, you know, it year to year it depends. You know, sometimes you have people that ask for favors or people that need something. Like when I moved back home, I had someone that needed to track trumpet.
Nice.
So it's just, you know, it's not consistent, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah, and again, as noted, there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
So great. Next question I have for you is, I'm sure the fact that you had a bachelor's degree, helps you get the job you have. But let's say beyond the fact that it's a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current job?
Yeah, I mean, at Berkeley, I was one of the first groups to go to Valencia, and we did a project in the concerts and touring class where we had to put on our own show. So we had to find a venue, build the bands, build the experience, host it, and then our goal was to break even. I loved that class so much that I realized that's what I wanted to do. I was really interested in working in concerts and festivals. So I started to help my friend host shows. So we hosted shows in Alston, right across from Fordham, and had fun little house shows. Got the cops called on us a couple times, but that's how I really started marketing and events and understanding them more. And it was a really fun thing to do. So I just wanted to keep doing it.
All right, very, very cool. So flipping that question around now, Berkeley gives that one degree, the Bachelor of Music. You went there knowing that you're doing very well for yourself. But all that said, when you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
That's a good question. I do think that sometimes opportunities are hidden at Berkeley. Berkeley gave me a lot of leads on things, but the thing that I wish that I would have done while I was there is a little bit more. You know, you kind of get swept up with being excited, seeing your friends, being in the dorm. And there are some people that I would have loved to connect with. There are some things that I would have loved to do. I would have loved to spend more time in the library and listen to CDs. I mean, there's just, I think my Berkeley education prepared me, but I think a lot of my experience came from things that were outside of Berkeley or Berkeley adjacent.
All right, I understand. So you wish there'd been a little more of a push to do that other stuff. Okay, great. Next question I have for you is, okay, I mean, you sort of had a plan in the sense of want to move to LA, got to save money, got to do that. Okay, you're there, work at the Apple store, find a job, any job. Not a bad plan, and it led you to where you are now, which is a great thing. But let's say, you know, some people might be still be finding their footing, and other then there's the current group of Berkeley students who might be stared out at the big scary world and wondering what happens next. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
I mean, for me, I guess I can just say like what worked and what didn't. I went to every single producer party and networking event possible. Talked to people, you know, got all of these leads from people that I thought were going to turn into opportunities. Sometimes they do, but for me, I didn't have luck there. What really worked for me was consistency. I got turned down from more jobs than I can count, jobs that I really wanted, jobs that I still really want. But don't get discouraged. There will be a job for you, but getting your dream job on the first go is probably not likely. It can still happen, but it's probably not likely. So I guess be consistent. Keep applying. Learn about the company. You know, I got lucky with my job, but I really wish I had done a little bit more research before the interview.
Sure. No, that's great. And to go specifically now, focusing on you, you're, as you say, doing marketing, doing events, or an event, right? It's all wrapped up there. As noted before, I think you're my 270th interview, plus or minus one. But, you know, you're not my 270th marketing person. And, you know, so anybody who is, you know, has made it this far in the interview is maybe interested in working and marketing and or working in the live event space. I've interviewed a pe few people doing that. So do you have any, if someone is thinking, I'm not doing it yet, but that seems like a cool type of career to be in, do you have any specific advice for them?
I would say to do as much as you can without the job. So a lot of people want to get, you know, their entry level job with no experience. Had I not done other things leading up to the job, you know, doing show posters for people for free. I worked at a couple agencies doing graphic design. If you're not doing the
Did you
work
do that
before,
during college, by the way, or?
I did it after college. I just left it out. I
Gotcha.
worked for a company that did like BoJack Horseman and a couple other like Spotify podcasts. Just
Gotcha.
a creative agency.
Awesome.
But I would just say do as much as you can. So if your job, entails writing emails, take a stab at other people's email campaigns. So you get a email from a brand that you like, try making that same email, try literally co copying it, but as if it were your own. If you do enough of that, you'll have examples to show brands. And I think everyone puts all of, a myriad of skills that they can do on their resume. Don't put too many. It gets harder to believe, even if you do all of those things. Just focus on your strengths, and surprise them or tell them later.
Gotcha. That's great. All right, Nilsson, well, I just have one last question for you, which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I don't know. We went over a lot. Find something that you like doing. Again, I'm not in a role that I thought I would even consider in college. But I'm having fun. And I'm making more connections than, waiting for that perfect opportunity to roll around. And do as much as you can before you get the job. That's it.
That's a great place to end on, a great last word. So, thanks again for making the time, Nils. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too.